The Bible is a book of 66 different books. And we're looking at the question, how do we know which books belong in the Bible? Are there other books that should be in the Bible? Are there lost books of the Bible? Is there a question? Is there any doubt about which books actually belong in the Scriptures? We're going to begin today in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 14. We're continuing to look at the Old Testament at this point. We're not to the New Testament yet. We're simply talking about which books actually belong in the Old Testament, because there is where a lot of questions arise. So we're going to be talking today about the so-called lost books of the Bible called the Apocrypha, and we're also going to be talking today about the Dead Sea Scrolls, because there's a lot of exaggeration and misunderstanding about that topic, and we'll try to discuss that for just a few minutes. But let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul said, in speaking of the unbelieving Jews, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament." So when the Jews read the Old Testament, they were blind. They were blind to the fact that their Old Testament prophesied of Jesus Christ. But here's the reason that we bring this passage up. Paul uses the expression, the Old Testament. Now, when he used those words, there is no indication that anybody wrote back to him or said to him, "Paul, what is the Old Testament anyway? Which books actually belong in what you call the Old Testament?" These people understood what the Old Testament was. They understood what the Old Testament was, just like we understand it today. Now let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, because here we have a fascinating passage about the books of the Old Testament. And this is a point that may not jump off the page at you. It's not something that is immediately apparent, but as you look beneath the surface and you remember and realize the grouping of the Old Testament books according to the Jewish Bible, according to the Hebrew Bible, then it makes perfect sense, and it helps us to understand that these Jews knew and they accepted only certain books in their Bible. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 34, Jesus is speaking here to the scribes and the Pharisees, who were ungodly, hypocritical men. And he says in Matthew 23, verse 34, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth." Now he's talking here about how that God is going to punish this Jewish nation. And he's prophesying actually here of the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. But notice how he words this in Matthew 23, verse 35. "That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar." Now, the first case here of murder is the case of Abel. Now, when we ask the question, where is that recorded? The answer is easy. That is in Genesis chapter 4. So it's in the first book of the Bible. That part is clear. But then he talks about Zacharias, the son of Berechias. Now remember that sometimes these people had two different names, and so you'll find that as you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and sometimes between different Old Testament books, that they'll be called by different ones of these names. But at any rate, this record of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, is found in the book of 2 Chronicles. Now, the book of 2 Chronicles is not the last stage in the history of the Jewish people recorded in the Old Testament. In other words, it is not the last book that was written in your Old Testament. But here's the key. Even though it was not the last book that was written, it was the last book in terms of how the Jews arranged and ordered their Old Testament. In other words, the Hebrew Bible began with the book of Genesis, and it ended with the book of 2 Chronicles. Now, the books were the same. They had the same Old Testament books that you and I have, but they arranged them differently. They put them in a different order than we do. So the Hebrew Bible begins with Genesis, and it ends with 2 Chronicles, and the Hebrew Bible contained and does contain exactly the same books that we have in our Bible today. Now here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, I'm going to require the blood of all the righteous men shed upon the earth. And he doesn't say from this point in time to this point in time. He says from this end of the Old Testament scriptures to this end of the Old Testament scriptures. In other words, he goes from the first book in the Hebrew Bible, Genesis, all the way over to the end, which is the book of 2 Chronicles, and he said all of that blood shed in between there is going to come upon this generation. God is going to punish you. So this is a passage which shows that the Jews, again, accepted only certain books, and those books are exactly the books that we have in our Bible today. Now then, let's talk about a set of books commonly called the Apocrypha. These books are in Catholic Bibles, and what we find is that the Apocrypha was not recognized by the Jews, and it was not recognized by Jesus Christ or the apostles of Christ as being inspired. Let's start with the Jews. Josephus tells us that these books were not on the same level as the scriptures. Josephus, a Jew writing in the first century, plainly tells us that the Jewish people, the Jewish scholars, if you will, the Jewish scribes and experts in the Bible, did not consider the Apocrypha as being inspired. They didn't go around talking about lost books of the Bible. They realized that those writings were produced by people that were not prophets, that were not inspired. So that's very important to remember. The Jews did not accept these books as inspired books. If anybody would have had reason or motivation to say that they were inspired, it would have been the Jews, because Jews wrote them. But they did not. In the second place, we find that when Jesus and the writers of the New Testament quote the Old Testament, they never cite these books. They never talk about these books as being inspired. Like Jesus, when he talked about Isaiah's writings, or Moses' writings, or David's writings, or such as when Paul cited the Old Testament and called it Scripture, you find that Jesus did not cite, he did not quote from the Apocrypha and call it Scripture. So Jesus Christ never recognized these books as being Scripture. New Testament writers never included them in references to the Old Testament. Now, we've also already seen that in these books themselves, which some people call lost books of the Bible, we find statements which admit that they were not inspired. In 1 Maccabees chapter 9, verse 27, the writer admits that there were no prophets, and there are different statements in these writings which indicate that they did not even claim that they were inspired. So it's strange today that anybody would suggest that maybe these books ought to be in the Bible, that maybe they belong in the Scriptures, when even the people that wrote these books didn't claim that. Now, claiming that a book is the Word of God doesn't make it the Word of God, but you would at least expect somewhere in a book that is supposed to be from God, somewhere you would expect to find a claim, at least, that it is from God. And you don't even find that in these so-called lost books of the Bible called the Apocrypha. Here's something else. The Apocrypha plainly contradicts the Old Testament. One of these books is called Bel and the Dragon. In that book, we find a statement which says that Daniel was in the lion's den for 6 days. That is absolutely false. And that is just one more reason to reject these books as being from God himself. Now then, let's talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls. I have never understood why that people look at the subject of the Dead Sea Scrolls with the mystery that they do. There is a lot of misunderstanding about what these were and what they are. There is a lot of misinformation about how valuable they are. But there is a lot of mystery that surrounds the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's almost as if when people hear you talking about or someone talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls, that they think it's some set of books which mysteriously dropped down from heaven, which were lost, which were kept in secret for many, many centuries, and suddenly were found. And this is not the case at all. The Dead Sea Scrolls are a virtual library of Bible manuscripts, commentaries, hymns, and theological writings which actually date back to the first century B.C. There were Jews in this community which produced many writings. In other words, they made copies of Old Testament scriptures. They wrote commentaries on those scriptures. They wrote hymns and songs just like we do. And they had articles on different topics. Well, these writings were found. And this wouldn't be any different than somebody, let's say, 1,000 years from now, excavating our community as it is right now and finding at a location where a church building stood, or perhaps a community where certain church buildings were, let's suppose that 1,000 years from now, there are certain archaeologists who start digging and they find all kinds of religious writings. They find old copies of the Bible. They find songbooks or hymn books in old church building relics. They find commentaries on the Bible. They find church bulletins. They find all kinds of religious writings. Well, folks, that is exactly what you find in the Dead Sea Scrolls. In one way, they're valuable because there are some old manuscripts of the Bible that were found there. There is a manuscript of the book of Isaiah that is very, very good. But all it does is to support the book of Isaiah that we already have in the Bible. There are no new books of the scriptures found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. There were no lost books of the Bible that were found there. There are all kinds of writings, but they have nothing to do with what we call the canon of the scriptures. These scrolls, other than Bible manuscripts, that were found in the Dead Sea findings, do not claim to be inspired, and they take nothing away from the Old Testament canon. And in fact, these writings actually confirm the books of the Old Testament as we have them. So you can have confidence that the books that you have in your Old Testament are the books that God put there and the books that God intends for us to have.